If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, our meditation will be on verses 23 on the fruit of the Spirit of patience, kindness, and goodness. But for a little bit of context, we're going to begin reading in verse 16. We just sang a beautiful hymn that speaks of really patiently receiving from God's hand what he thinks is best. That's something that we'll see here in this fruit of the Spirit concerning patience. But again, we'll begin reading in verse 16 for a little bit of context. This is God's holy and inspired and infallible word. Let's give our careful attention to the reading of it this morning. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is God's word. Microwaves, Amazon Prime, McDonald's, and Netflix, what do they all have in common? Well, they could all provide you with instant gratification, can't they? Whether that instant gratification is food cooked in just a few short minutes or a TV show that you could stream instantly, we live in a world, don't we, of fast food, of fast delivery, and instant access. And in a world where faster is better, we can grow restless and we can grow impatient, especially when we're inconvenienced even just for a short period of time. When we have to wait for our internet to start working rightly again, or we have to wait in the line at Service Ontario, we could find our hearts impatient, even if it's just for a few short minutes. You know, when our smartphones or our smart TVs obey our every command, sometimes as God's people, we don't know what to do when that sense of control is taken away from us. Because of this, things like pandemics and suffering and even just difficult seasons of life can reveal the impatience that still dwells in our hearts. You know, beloved, how do you react when God is not operating according to your timetable for something? How are you doing in this ongoing COVID-19 world that we're living in? Our impatience can reveal itself in our grumbling, in our envy of other people and their lot in life, and even in our bitterness towards God at times for the season of life that he has us in. And this is why this morning we want to meditate on the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, kindness, and goodness today. You know, often in the Bible, God would bring his people through difficult situations to grow their humility, to grow their faith, to grow their patience. And he often also brought his people in contexts where they also had to learn patience and kindness with one another and goodness towards a world that wasn't always friendly towards them. And today we want to consider these things. We're going to spend most of our time, Lord willing, on the fruit of patience, but towards the end we'll also see its beautiful connection with goodness and with kindness. And I want to consider this fruit of patience in connection with two areas that I think are especially relevant for us today. Our first point, you'll see it in your bulletin, is patience with providence. Patience with providence, and we'll define providence in just a moment. And second, we'll see patience with people. Patience with providence and patience with people. And I know that Reformed sermons often have 3 points, so in order to maybe help it be really a Reformed sermon, I have one kind of half point towards the end, the patience of God towards us. But those two main points will be our focus. First, patience with providence. What is providence? Maybe you're a child here or new to the church or new to the Reformed flavor of Christianity. In our Heidelberg Catechism, we have a beautiful definition of what this word providence is. And it's from Heidelberg 26, and it says this: Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. See, providence reminds us that God didn't just create this world and then walk away from it, but he is intimately involved right now in this world. Providence reminds us of God's plans, God's rule, God's timing, and God's purposes that will come to pass. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, God's providence can be difficult for us to accept. As we just read from the Heidelberg, God brings fruitful and he brings lean years. He brings upon us health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. Sometimes God brings about situations that can last a long time and can require patience. You could think of Noah in the Bible, who had to build an ark and preach for around 70 to 120 years before the flood came. You could think of Abraham and Sarah, who were promised a child, but they had to wait until they were an old age before they were given a son. You could think of Joseph, who was unjustly put in prison for over 10 years before he was raised up out of prison, second next to Pharaoh. Today, beloved, we continue to find ourselves in a season of adversity to a degree in this world that we're living in, with all of the things that are going on and with all of the restrictions that are upon us. It's only been a number of months so far, but what if these things continue to drag on for years? You know, God's word reminds us that calamities are certain to come. We live in a fallen world that's under the curse of sin. But not only is this world turned upside down through those types of circumstances, but our own particular lives have unique situations that are difficult. For some of us, the hard providence of God might be old age. It might be battling chronic illness. It might be disease. Or it might be caring for a loved one who is suffering. What do we need to remember when our world is turned upside down? Heidelberg Catechism 27 reminds us of how God's providence actually comforts the Christian. And the first line of that answer says this: we can be patient in adversity. Why is it that the Christian can be patient in adversity? Well, towards the end, the Catechism explains, for all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. In other words, every situation, every season of life, every individual person on this world, Christian or non-Christian, is in the hand of Almighty God and only moves by God's will. Do you believe that this morning? In all of these situations that God puts us in, that he calls us to be patient, not only because these seasons are in his hand, but beloved, we are in God's fatherly hand, his gracious hands. And God has shown us in the word of God that he is faithful to restore and to exalt and to deliver his people after hard seasons of life. Again, after Noah waited for 120 years, the rain began to come. After Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God was faithful to bring them into the promised land. After 400 years of silence, when God's people were saying, oh, come, Emmanuel, and they were waiting for the Messiah in seasons of darkness and times where there was no prophets, after all of those years of silence, God was faithful to send Jesus, the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world. Beloved, the Church of Jesus Christ today has been waiting for 2,000 years for the second coming of Jesus. And in this time of waiting for us, there have been plagues, there have been pandemics, there have been persecutions. But God is faithful. He is faithful, and one day he will send again the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says to us, behold, I am coming soon. And right now in this time of waiting, you see, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is producing in us patience in adversity. The Spirit of God leads us not to grumble against providence, not to complain, not to give into despair, but to trust God right where He has us. He leads us even to consider God's hand that's behind all of these things that we see in our world today. As one hymn writer puts it, "Therefore, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face." This doesn't mean as God's people we just sit on our hands and it means inaction. No, it means that we stay humble and we consider God's fatherly hand at all times and in all seasons, because He reminds us in His word that He is faithful to restore and to exalt His people after seasons of adversity. As the psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 3, "None who wait upon Him shall be put to shame." But beloved, when it comes to God's providence, there's not only those exceptional seasons of life like, you know, pandemics and suffering, but there's also just those providential circumstances that God brings upon us that can be hard to accept, right? You know, there are some who are single, who desire to have a spouse, but God has not yet provided that. There are some couples who desire to have children, but in God's providence, He hasn't yet blessed them with children. There are some looking for work, which is another good thing, but maybe they just can't seem to find a job. Maybe there's some of you who are just in a difficult calling of life, in a difficult season, where it doesn't quite match your desires or your gifts, but you're there, and you're waiting upon the Lord. All of those things are good desires, aren't they? They're God-glorifying desires, but often those types of things in our lives require patience from us, where we have to wait upon the Lord, when we have to learn how to pray like Jesus, "Lord, I desire this. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." But you see, our temptation in those types of seasons is to go about sinful ways of fulfilling those desires, even those good desires, to take shortcuts to fulfill God's word, as it were. You know, when God was not operating according to Abraham and Sarah's timetable for a child, what did they do? You might remember Sarah told her maidservant Hagar to go into her husband for her that she might obtain a child by her. And it didn't work out well when they took that shortcut that brought about drama within the family of God. We too can go about fulfilling good desires by sinful means. Someone might want intimacy so bad that they might begin dating a non-Christian. Someone might desire to have sexual intimacy so bad that they pursue sex outside of marriage. Some might want a job promotion so bad that they cut corners, or they step over people, or they disregard other Christian duties just to get more money or to get a better status. Are there any areas in your life, beloved, where you're tempted to take those shortcuts, to hurry God along, as it were, to fulfill your heart's desire? Our Lord Jesus, when He was on earth, He was tempted to take that kind of shortcut to what God had promised. You might remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan tempted Him, and he said to Jesus, "You know, You're the Son of God. Didn't God promise to you all of the kingdoms of the earth, that You would be Lord? Well, Jesus, here they are. They're Yours if You just bow down to Me." In other words, Jesus, take the shortcut. This shortcut doesn't require patience. It doesn't require suffering. It doesn't have a cross. Just bow down to Me. But Jesus endured temptation patiently and faithfully and perfectly, not taking any shortcuts to the promises of God. And therefore, the Father highly exalted Him. And you see what Paul is saying in Galatians? He's not just working in us, beloved, patience like the world says about patience, but God the Spirit is working in you, if you're a Christian today, the very patience of Jesus. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God at work in His children. And He's working in us patience, just like our Lord, to not take shortcuts, but to trust God in His timing. One commentator by the name of Richard Hendricks says, "Second only to suffering, waiting may be one of the greatest teachers and trainers in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality." I think that's true. Second only to suffering, waiting might be one of our greatest trainers in life. Let me encourage you that in those seasons of life where God is calling you to wait, don't miss the character that God wants to form in you in those seasons of waiting or in those seasons of adversity. It's especially in those times, beloved, that God is working in us patience, contentment, and even joy in the midst of hardship. And we can be humble in a position or in a hidden job or calling, but if we do it with patience and with trust in our God, it is well-pleasing in his sight. So the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and this helps us to be patient with providence. But second, I want to consider another point that is, I think, helpful for our day. Patience with people. Our second point, patience with people. See, God not only calls us to have this attitude of patience towards him, but also towards one another, especially in people's shortcomings. The Reformed commentator John Calvin put it this way, patience is to take everything in good part and not to be so easily offended. You would think he lived in the year 2020, right? This word, patience, can be translated as it's translated in the New King James Version, long-suffering. It can refer to someone who has a slow fuse. You know, children, I don't know if you enjoy playing with fireworks around Canada Day or some other holiday. They're kind of fun. But some of the big fireworks, right, they have very long fuses so that, you know, you have enough time to light the firework and to run away and hide before the big kaboom happens. They have a long fuse. Well, to have patience is to have a long fuse, to not be prone to dish out revenge or to pay back someone when you're wronged or even when you suffer injustice. We don't often see that in our world today, especially in patience with perhaps politicians, or patience with parents, or patience with children. When it comes to political issues, our COVID-19 restrictions, our lack of civility in the public square or around the dinner table often flows from the fact that we're not patient with each other, but we're frustrated because people don't see the world like we see it. You know, why don't you see this issue like I do, right? We all struggle with a short fuse at times. I know I do. I remember when I was converted in high school. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was converted in high school, you know, started going to a Baptist church. And I remember in university, I started learning about the riches of the Reformed tradition, you know, the doctrines of grace and how God saves us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and all the rest. And I remember being so overjoyed about learning about the riches of Reformed theology. But instead of sharing the treasure with some of my Baptist and Arminian friends, I sought to, you know, cram that truth down their throats. You know, why don't you see God's sovereignty in Romans chapter 9? Just read the Bible in John 6. It's right there. And I became impatient. It's what they call the cage stage of Calvinism. When people are zealous for what they're learning, you got to put them in a cage before they, you know, bring harm upon someone else. That often happens to people, right? When they're excited about something new, a new movement, a new policy issue, they get into a cage stage of their faith or their position. We start to think, I've arrived. Why haven't you, right? The reality is, beloved, none of us have arrived. Our hard-earned convictions could be wrong at certain points. Even on those issues that are important, whether it be a theology issue, a social justice issue, or whatever it might be, we constantly need to come back to God's word and be renewed. And we need to be patient with people who are in process just like us. And beloved, we grow in patience, not only when we consider our own failures and weakness, but beloved, we grow in patience when we consider God's patience towards us. I want you to think for a moment just about who God is, his very character, his very being. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked to see the glory of God. The glory of God concerns who he is in his being. And what would you expect the glory of God revealed to Moses? What would you expect it to look like? You know, a few weeks ago, my family, we were up north and got to see the beauty of God's creation up north and the stars, right, that just proclaim in a special way away from all the lights, just God's beauty and God's power and his creativity and his vastness. And you know, perhaps we would expect the glory of God to show up to Moses like a thunderbolt from heaven or just a terrifying voice from the clouds. But God says to Moses in Exodus 33:19, Moses, I will make all of my goodness to pass by you. God's glory revealed in his goodness. God tells Moses to hide himself in the cleft of the rock so that he can make his glory pass by. And God reveals his glory to Moses in these words. Exodus 34, verse 6. Here's who God is. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. The first description of God himself is this: merciful and gracious. And although you see God's justice within this very description of his glory, notice his heart, it's not bent on retribution. It's not bent on bringing down the hammer, but it's actually inclined. It's actually bent on mercy, isn't it? The Lord says, I am slow to anger. Literally in the Hebrew, it's I'm long of nostrils. What does that mean? It means it takes me a while to heat up. Takes me a while to get angry. I'm not like a bull who has a small, short nose and gets angry quickly. No, I'm slow to anger. You know, it's interesting. The Bible often says how God is provoked to anger, provoked to wrath, but it never says that he's provoked to love. His mercy, you see, it's pent up. It's ready to gush forth upon you at the slightest little prick. And so what is patience? It's refusing to be irritated by the wrongs done to us. And who shows more patience than God himself? Beloved, God's patience is good news for people like you and me today. The God who revealed his glory to Moses from a distance came near in this world in Jesus Christ. He took on our flesh. John 1:14, we read, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And consider the patience of our Lord Jesus in his ministry. His disciples were like you and me. They were slow to understand the things of God. They were slow to obey the things of Christ. They even abandoned the Lord Jesus at the hour of his greatest need. And that's all of us, isn't it? Betraying our Lord, confessing that we will follow him like Peter, but then denying him with our lives and with our lips. And if Jesus were like us, if he were like people in our culture today, he would just cancel his church, wouldn't he? They struggle to understand the basics of the cross. They don't follow me rightly. Let's just get rid of them. It's so easy for us to react that way, to lose patience with people who don't get it right. We have a short fuse, maybe with our children or with our spouse or with the people that we're mentoring or with the people that we're counseling. We have a short fuse and we're just wondering, why won't they get it? Why don't they finally understand? And we can be tempted just to cut ties. Thanks be to God, beloved, Jesus is not like us. He doesn't cancel his people. He doesn't condemn his people in their sin. But he comforts us, leads us again to the cross, leads us to repentance, leads us to renewed faith. And his mercy and grace have come into this world when he came into this world and is now poured out upon the unworthy. Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then Jesus says these amazing words, which are connected with our verse in Galatians. He says later on, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word for yoke being easy, it's the same word in our verse translated kind. My yoke, Jesus says, it's a kind yoke that I put upon you. It's really not even a yoke at all, because when I put it upon you, it actually gives you life. It actually benefits you. It doesn't weigh you down, but it lifts you up. Dane Ortlund, in his book Gentle and Lowly, says his yoke is like helium for a balloon. It lifts up our spirits. Spirit then is working in us, beloved, that kind of kindness, the kindness of Jesus. Kindness refers to our disposition towards others, even those who are hostile towards us. Instead of being sharp or bitter or mean, it means that we're gentle and mild and kind and courteous. Goodness is connected with it. Goodness speaks of someone who's willing to show practical generosity to someone in need. Someone who's just ready to help those who are in need. And these are things, beloved, kindness and goodness that we receive from God himself. Psalm 145, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." God is kindly disposed to this world, and we actually see God's goodness and kindness tangibly in his generosity and how he sustains this world, in the seasons that he gives, in the rain and the sun that come upon Christians and non-Christians alike. But Paul tells us, in the gospel of Jesus, we receive a particular kindness, an incredible, peculiar kindness and goodness from God that not only sustains us and keeps our heart beating, but actually saves us. That's why we read from Titus chapter 3 for the assurance of pardon. You see how it's connected there. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. The kindness and goodness of God appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. And we see it supremely at the cross, where he gave himself for our sins. The righteous one for the unrighteous. The holy one in the place of the unholy. The one who was spotless in the place of those who were plagued by sin, in order that we might be saved from hell and brought near to God. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. And Paul says in Romans 2, verse 4, we are not to show contempt for God's kindness because it's meant to lead us to repentance. In other words, the loving kindness and goodness of God is preached to you in this world. And if you're in the church, it comes to you in this special way. And Paul says, don't disregard it. God is kind and patient towards you to lead you to repentance. So if you're here today and you have not yet confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's word calls you to not show contempt for his kindness and goodness, but to repent of your sin today and to put your trust, your hope in Jesus alone. The world continues today, beloved. The reason we're here on another Lord's Day is only because of the patience of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But God's patience towards this world will not last forever. He was patient in the days of Noah for 120 years, but then the floodwaters came. And today, if we continue to reject the goodness and loving kindness of God, Sunday after Sunday, we can only expect God's wrath because he's been patient towards us, bringing to us this good news, but we have rejected it. Although the Lord's heart is bent on mercy and grace, reminded from Exodus 34, he will by no means clear the guilty. But beloved, for you who have experienced the patience and kindness and goodness of God, the Lord says, now I want you to go out into this world and to reflect that heart to your brothers and sisters in the church. To reflect it to your neighbor, to reflect it even towards your enemy. The words of one country song, always be humble and kind. But Paul says it even better in Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Beloved, may the Lord help us to bear these fruits in our lives for his glory. It can be difficult to show kindness and goodness to people who are not friendly towards us. It can be difficult to be patient with providence, especially when God is not operating on our timetable, according to what we think is best. The psalmist tells us, none who wait for him shall be put to shame. Therefore, may we remember Christ's tender and patient heart towards us. And today, beloved, in this week, may we walk in the Spirit in patience and in kindness and in goodness. As the psalmist says in Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for who you are. And we are so grateful for your patience and your kindness and your goodness towards us. For we confess, Lord, that we are still those who battle sin. And daily our sins rise up against you. And Father, if you were like us, you would condemn us so quickly. You would sentence us to hell immediately. But instead, Lord, you have shown us mercy and grace, for you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Father, help that to just change our hearts today, to grip us in such a way that we begin to receive in a beautiful way your grace, and we might be able to show more faithfully, even today, your patience and kindness and goodness. Help us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to walk in these things. They're not natural to our own sinful flesh, but by your Spirit we can do all things. And so fill our minds, fill our hearts with your Spirit, that we might produce all of these fruits which are pleasing to you, our God, that we might reflect them in the church, that we might reflect them in our homes, that we might show these fruits in our particular lives for your glory and for your honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.